Please join me now in Hebrews chapter 10. Hebrews 10, we've been walking through the book of Hebrews, and there has been so much theology. It's been rich, essential theological truth, but all along the aim has been very practical. All of this truth that we've been seeing here in Hebrews was given to call these Hebrews and then us to solid faith in Jesus alone and to an enduring faithfulness to Jesus. Remember, the main point of Hebrews is this, that you and I who know Christ should never turn back from Christ, that we should never fall away from Him. We've seen the warnings in Hebrews 2, Hebrews 4, Hebrews 6, and there are more to come. So this is the reason for all of the great theology. You say, what great theology? Well, here it is. Remember this? Jesus is greater than all else. We saw at the very beginning, Jesus is greater than all of the angels. That's quite a statement. Jesus is greater than all the prophets. Jesus is greater than all the priests. And Jesus' sacrifice greater than all the millions of animals that were sacrificed before Jesus gave the one final sacrifice. It's through the sacrifice of Jesus that our sins are completely and permanently removed from us. But again, somebody might ask, all right, I get the theology now, but how is that practical? Because when you understand that Jesus is preeminent, that Jesus is awesome and all alone in His glory, then when you're tempted to fall away, that's an unthinkable thought. When I know how great He is, how great His love is for me, I could not dream of falling away from Him. And for the first readers of Hebrews, these Jewish Christians, they had this temptation. Maybe I go back to the old ways. Maybe I go back to the old covenant. But all of this rich theology telling you the superiority of the new covenant, you think, oh, no, I may be tempted, but I would never go back because of the glories and the riches of this new covenant. Do you remember back in chapter 5, the writer of Hebrews lets them know, look, we're moving into solid food here. We're leaving behind the milk. But remember, he told them, you can't handle it. But he went ahead and gave them the solid food, gave us the solid food. But listen, very practical, that you and I would have a solid faith in Jesus. And now as we go deeper into Hebrews 10, it increasingly gets very practical for us. So here's our text for today, Hebrews 10, verses 19 through 25. Let's hear it together. Therefore, brothers, since we have confidence to enter the holy places by the blood of Jesus, by the new and living way that He opened for us through the curtain, that is, through His flesh, and since we have a great priest over the house of God, let us draw near with a true heart in full assurance of faith, with our hearts sprinkled clean from evil conscience, from an evil conscience, and our bodies washed with pure water. Let us hold fast the confession of our hope without wavering. For He who promised is faithful. And let us consider how to stir up one another to love and good works, not neglecting to meet together as is the habit of some, but encouraging one another, and all the more as you see the day drawing near. We see in verse 19 that word therefore, meaning this, therefore in light of the greatness of Jesus, therefore, in light of the greatness of the new covenant, therefore, because of the perfect standing you and I now have through the sacrifice of Jesus, therefore, there are some things that you must now do. And He's going to give us four things in this text, and I want to give them to you in advance. Here are the four things we're going to walk through today. In light of everything that we've seen so far, you should be confident in Christ. Secondly, you should draw near to God. Third, you should hold fast to the gospel. And then fourth, you should be active in church. The first one is this, be confident in Christ. Therefore, since we have this confidence to enter the holy places by the blood of Jesus. That's truly an amazing statement. If you were a first century Jewish person and you heard that wait a minute, an average person like me, you're saying that I could go confidently into the holy places. Well, that's a place only reserved for the priests, remember? Only the priest could go into the holy place, and only the high priest once a year could go into the most holy place. And here we're told we can just come confidently into the presence of God. Now, of course, the writer of Hebrews is not suggesting that these Christians march to Jerusalem and try to get the unbelieving Jewish people to let them into the temple and try this out. It's not the idea at all. Because he's been making the point all along, we don't need that temple any longer. We don't need those sacrifices any longer, not since Jesus died. We don't need those priests any longer. So what's the point here? We can go into the very presence of God, into the ultimate holy place. Everything here is just from the pattern of the heavenly. We can go into the heavenly presence of God with confidence because of Jesus. This is what we've been seeing, this great theology. Through the death of Jesus, we've been cleansed. We've been sanctified. We've been made perfect in the sight of God. We could call this our new covenant confidence. We've been given access to God Himself. Isn't it amazing? We become the very children of God. We can come confidently to our Father in heaven. I was thinking about this and how people come to my house. It's very different depending on your relationship with me. If a stranger comes to my house, listen, I have a Simply Safe security system. If you're a stranger and you come to my house, I have the doorbell camera. I can choose whether or not to engage with the strangers. And really, more times than not, if it's a complete stranger selling something, I'm going to save us both some time. I'm not coming. I don't need solar panels, maybe one day. I don't need new windows. I'm really happy with my trash collection service. The county's doing just fine. I don't need another. So if I see them with their clipboard and their lanyard, not coming to the door. But listen, with my family, it's very different. With family, if they show up, they're coming in. And they're all adults now. They're usually going to say, is it okay if we stop by? But they don't need to do that. In fact, I've given them all keys to the house. And so if they come to the door, they're coming in. And if I hear the door, I'm getting up to go greet them with enthusiasm. Listen, this is the confident access that Jesus has given us to the Father. Hear it again, verse 19. Therefore, brothers, since we have confidence to enter the holy places by the blood of Jesus, by the new and living way that He opened for us through the curtain, that is, through His flesh, Jesus has opened the way, a new and living way to God. As we saw last time, all the rituals and barriers of the old covenant, they have been done away with. Remember that strong word, they've been abolished. In the old covenant, as good as it was from the same loving God, still God had to tell people, listen, priests only up to this point. Come close, but not too close. There was distance built into the old covenant, but now in the new covenant, through this new and better way, through the blood of Jesus, God says, come near. God's saying, come on close, come all the way, come confidently. But we could say, well, wait a minute, God, you're holy, and I'm not holy. But God could counter, listen, I've made you holy. That's why Jesus came. He died for your sins to take it all away, to make you perfectly clean in my sight. And through your faith, you've been robed in the righteousness of my Son. Come on close. And so we can say it this way. It's as if God has given us the house key. I want you. I want you in my presence. You're family now through your faith in my Son. That's what John 1:12 tells us. God is inviting you into His presence because you've been washed, you're clean, you can come in full assurance. Listen, God has given you full access. But here's the question today. What are you doing with that amazing access God has given you to Himself? Listen, be confident in Christ, but now this, draw near to God. Draw near to God. Verse 22, let us draw near with a true heart and full assurance of faith, with our hearts sprinkled clean from an evil conscience and our bodies washed with pure water. We have access. We have this amazing invitation from God Himself, but having access is not the same thing as taking advantage of the access. I'm told that people can join fitness clubs. I've never joined one. And so, many people, I'm told, will join a fitness club. They have full rights to go anytime they can when it's open. And many people tell me, but they don't go. Paid the fees, have the lanyard or whatever you need, your app. I don't know. Clearly, I'm not a member. But you could go, but people don't go. Listen, there are people like this with God. There's this amazing access that God has opened up. But some people would say this, look, I'm content to be at a casual distance from this God. I'm okay with being just a distance acquaintance of God. But believer, we're told here, draw near to God. Take advantage of that. Some people get excited to go to concerts. Some people get excited about these backstage opportunities. So I was reading about this one website called meetandgreetticket.com, and they advertise that you could pay extra to not only go to the concert, but you could go backstage. Here's how they describe it. With meet and greet backstage passes, You can get the chance to meet your favorite celebrity or team, gain access to areas that are usually off limits to fans with an exclusive backstage pass from meetandgreetticket.com. Meet and greet backstage passes often include a photo op with the artist or team, an exclusive gift package including snacks and beverages, and tokens to take home like a VIP backstage pass lanyard. So thought about that opportunity. Literally, I can't think of a single human on the earth that I would pay extra money to go see. Literally. And I thought about that photo op. Would I pay money to take a photo with any celebrity? Not a single soul on the planet would interest me enough to pay money. Because here's why. It's a one-sided relationship. By the way, I know I'm not fun. So if you do it, it's fine. Not judging you. I'm just not fun. So it's not, that wouldn't be fun for me because it's just so one-sided, because that famous person doesn't know me and they don't want to know me. It's just a business transaction. Their manager had the brilliant idea while he could be resting. Now he's got to go say hi to me. And then they're going to take the picture. I'm not going to treasure that picture because that famous person isn't going to treasure the picture. Is my picture with him going to show up on the tour bus? No. And I'll be smiling about, look at me with that guy who doesn't care anything about me. I'm not interested in that. But this is what makes it amazing. Amazing that God loves us. That's amazing. God loves us. And he's made the way backstage into his holy place at an enormous cost. So look, you're not having to pay extra to get that type of access to God. God sent his son who spilled his precious blood. Just think about it. Jesus, perfect, awesome Jesus, King of kings, Lord of lords, gave his blood to give you this access. And it's not just for a moment, hey, all right, you got a minute with God and the angel's going to whisk you away. You're not important. It's not that. Jesus said, I go to prepare a place for you that where I am, you can be also. God's design is that you would be with him forever as one of his children. This is amazing. So confident access has been given to you. What are you doing with it? Draw near to him. Live in a relationship, a close relationship with this amazing God. Listen to this, Revelation 3:20. This is what Jesus said to one of the churches. Jesus said, behold, I stand at the door and knock. If anyone hears my voice and opens the door, I will come into him and eat with him and he with me. You hear that? I want us to be close. This is what Jesus is making available. James 4:7-8. Submit yourselves, therefore, to God. Resist the devil, and he will flee from you. That's a great promise. But now keep reading. Verse 8, draw near to God, and he will draw near to you. The question is, do you do this? You say, how do you do that? How do you draw near to God? Well, open the door to Jesus, as he says in Revelation 3. Abide with Jesus, as Jesus taught us in John 15. Walk in the Spirit, as we read in Galatians 5. You say, but again, how do you do that? Draw near to God in the Word and in prayer with the goal of meeting with him. When you open the Bible, you're hearing from God. You know that? The Holy Spirit inspired every word of the Bible. And that same Holy Spirit who inspired the Bible lives in you if you are now a believer in Jesus Christ, helping you to understand and apply that word, to have the Word of God change you. So when you read the Bible, God is speaking to you. So you want to read for a relationship. That's your goal when you open the Bible. I want to know God. I want to spend time with God in the Bible. I'm reading to respond what God is saying to me. Listen, it's okay to listen to the Bible. That's not less. So with these Bible apps we've been talking about, you can hit play, listen to the Word of God. Why are you listening? You're listening for life. So open the Bible for that, but then you're going to pray, and that's you talking back to God. It's a two-way conversation. God is speaking to you through his word. You're praying to him in response to what you just read and other things that God brings to mind. I would encourage you, have a daily time set aside for that time in the word and to pray, a devoted time of prayer, but then you're going to rise up from that, and you're going to live in a relationship of prayer with God. We're just talking about drawing near, living near, walking closely with him. How else can you draw near? In the Bible, in prayer, but also in obedience. You can't be walking close with God while you're in rebellion against God. It doesn't work that way. 1 John 1:7, walk in the light as he is in the light. You have to walk with him if you want to be near him. He's in the light. You need to join him in the light. Repent and come back to Jesus. How else can you draw near? In service to God. You want to be with God and the things that He's doing in the world, and so you want to be one who serves Him. So listen, if you will not draw near to God like this, you will be spiritually distant from God. It's not that God doesn't want to be close to you. He's done everything to make a way to be near Him. So if you're distant from God, it's completely on your side. If you will not draw near, you will be spiritually weak, and you will become theologically weird. Have you known people who profess to be Christians, but then they go rogue? They have their own thinking. They've tried to cobble together their own belief system that's contrary to the Bible. This will happen to you. If you won't draw near to God with His Word, you're going to wing it. You're going to come up with something else, and you will be theologically off. It'll be weird. If you will not draw near to God, you'll be unfaithful, unfruitful. You'll be ineffective. We can say it this way. If you will not draw near, you will drift away. So it's so important, this access is so wonderful, this call to draw near. So one way to do that is to plan ahead. So you need that devoted time to Him. Yes, you're going to get up and walk with Him always. You're going to pray without ceasing. But what about that time? I need to get alone with God. I need to draw near on purpose every day of my life. Plan ahead. So somebody's probably listening to this going, I need to do that. Jim's been preaching that for over 19 years here. I need to do it. So all right, make a plan. This afternoon, I need to meet with God. I'm going to schedule it. And then why not plan tomorrow, a time and place. What time, what place tomorrow will you meet with God? And I would encourage you to set some alarms if this is not a habit you already have. Put it on your calendar. It's the most important calendar because we've been given this amazing access and we need to draw near. And so by all means, let's do that. Listen, if you're not drawing near, what is it? Are you chasing after sin? Are you chasing after the world? You're drawing near to something. Word of God says draw near to God. Be confident in Christ. Draw near to God. How about this next one? Hold fast to the gospel. Hold fast to the gospel. Verse 23. Let us hold fast the confession of our hope without wavering, for He who promised is faithful. So here we're reminded that there are constant pressures to pull us away from Christ, to drift away. We have internal temptations. We don't even need the evil one to do it. Our own sinful hearts can gravitate away from God, but indeed there is an enemy. And then there are external pressures from the culture, people in your life beckoning you away from faith and faithfulness. People on your screens beckon you away from faith and faithfulness, but we must hold fast. In fact, just for a moment, we're not being judgmental, but you've known people who used to worship beside you. They once appeared to be faithful, but apparently didn't know Christ. And think about what they're up to now. How's it going for them? Maybe you still see them on social media. It's not going well for them. No matter what kind of smile they put on, they've stepped away from the community of faith where they could have known Christ, and they've stepped into dysfunction. In every case, they've stepped into depressing circumstances. In every case, as they've drifted away, they've stepped onto that broad road that Jesus said leads to destruction. But Christian, be confident in Christ. Draw near to Him. Hold fast to Jesus. Hold fast to the gospel. Listen to this. Acts 4:12. There's salvation in no one else, for there's no other name under heaven given among men by which we must be saved. There's no other person to turn to than Jesus. We would never turn away. Romans 1:16, for I'm not ashamed of the gospel, for it's the power of God for salvation to everyone who believes, to the Jew first and also to the Greek. We're not ashamed of the gospel. We're holding fast to it. But listen, here's good news. We don't do this alone. We do this with others. Be confident in Christ. Draw near to God. Hold fast to the gospel. And now be active in church. Be active in church. That's verse 24. And let us consider how to stir up one another to love and good works, not neglecting to meet together as is the habit of some, but encouraging one another, and all the more as you see the day drawing near. Do you hear this clear call to faithfulness to church? A clear call to faithfulness to God's people. Listen, this is not legalism. This isn't us trying to be mere rule keepers. This is basic faithfulness. Do you see it? In the scriptures, I didn't write it in there, you didn't write it in there, there it is. This is what believers do, and there's no other pattern. We don't have time, but we could look at Acts 2 this morning. You can do it maybe later, Acts 2, verses 41 through 47. What did the early believers do? The 3,000 were saved at Pentecost, and they were baptized, and they were together, and they lived life together. And the rest of the book of Acts is all about the planting of churches. So people are coming to faith, and they're brought into churches. It is the pattern of God that believers will find themselves baptized and in churches. And then the rest of the New Testament outside of Acts is letters to believers who are in churches. So there's no such thing as a healthy believer not in a church, unless you were at the ends of the earth planting churches where there are no churches. So if you are without a church, you're in a place where you're sharing the gospel with the hope and the prayer that there will soon be a church. Listen, church has never been extra. It's always been essential to your life. But we know many Christians are far too casual about what church is, what membership is. Many of you, church is just a nice supplement to their lives. I'll go if nothing better comes up. But this text gives us three key actions that tell us what to do related to the church. And I'm going to give you these in advance as well. We are to show up, we're to stir up, and we're to build up. Show up is verse 24. And let us consider how to stir up one another to love and good works, not neglecting to meet together as is the habit of some. So we don't know why some in the first century made it a habit of not gathering together, but we could guess and we could be sympathetic. Some of them might have been facing persecution. In fact, the very next text that we're going to see next Sunday, Lord willing, is about the persecution, jails, and the seizure of properties. That's what they were going through in those times. And so we might sympathize with some of them going, you know, I would gather, but it's so dangerous. And we would sympathize with that. And yet they're being told here, don't stop meeting together. Maybe there were family and friends pressures on them not to do this, but we don't know exactly. But they were told even there, don't stop meeting together. But here's the question, why do people in the 21st century make it a habit not to meet together as Christians? There are some common reasons, I'll try to move through these pretty quickly, of why people choose not to worship though they profess to be Christians. We would say this, for some people it's because they have little faith and little love for God. You're not doing well spiritually if the priority of worship with God's people is not a priority for you. You're gathering with other people, but you won't gather and worship. That says something about your heart. That's a heart of unbelief that you won't do that. It could be because you have little faith, little love for God, maybe no faith. Also this, it could be because of immaturity and poor theology. Here's a classic statement I bet you've heard. I can worship God just as well in a fishing boat as I can at that church. I can worship God just as well on the golf course as I can at that church. And you know what we say to that? That's not true. You can't worship just as well. Now, you ought to be worshiping every day of your life. Your whole life is worship. And wonderful things can happen with you and the Lord, but I would venture to say you're not worshiping in your fishing boat, not for long. You're not worshiping on the golf course, not for long. You can't do what we do, worshiping the Lord together, encouraging each other, hearing the Word of God together. This is different, and the Word of God says don't neglect meeting together. Somebody might try to sound spiritual, maybe even a gotcha at me. By the way, nobody has said this. Don't be defensive for me. But somebody could say, hey, Jim, I can hear better sermons online. And I would be able to tell them, if somebody were to say that, nobody has, I'd say, you're right. And I can direct you to some of those great websites where some of the best preachers ever are preaching the word. But those preachers would tell you, get into your own church. If they're faithful to the Bible, they're going to preach texts like this. That's no substitute for being in your church with God's people. You were designed for that. There's no substitute for your church gathered. Here's another reason why people make it a habit not to gather together. Just simple laziness. You ever heard this? That's my one day to sleep in. We say, well, that may not be anybody's fault but yours. Maybe you stay so busy doing a lot of other things. And by the way, who promised us a day to sleep in? I'm a napper. I'll nap later in the day. I'll nap this afternoon, I hope. Don't need to sleep in. We had an old joke in college. I don't think it was original to us by any means, but it got to us, and we would use it sometimes. We would say, I'm so tired, I think tomorrow morning I'm going to go to Bedside Baptist with the Reverend Sheets preaching on the Great Comforter. We thought that. But we'd never do it. It was a joke. Even at college, we'd get up, we'd go to church to gather together. By the way, let me say to you, if you're a student and you're thinking about God might have me in college one day or in the military or whatever, listen, make your plan. If God calls you off to college, this is the recipe for success. Get on that campus and find God's people. Get involved in a good campus ministry like Crew or InterVarsity, one of those groups that's discipling people. So it's like, all right, if I go to college, I'm going to get involved in a campus ministry and I'm going to get involved in a healthy church. That's your game plan. College, campus ministry, local church, go and worship, fellowship, and serve in that church. So why do people not make it a commitment to meet together? For some people, it's affluence. Isn't that strange? A person can reach a level of financial affluence, they can buy some luxuries that'll keep them from actually worshiping and serving the Lord. So somebody might say, look, I bought a boat. I finally have the money to buy a boat. It's just bad stewardship to own a boat and not use the boat. I mean, I don't want to waste God's money, so I can't come, I can't serve. I'm gone so much with my toys, I can't be there. For some people, it's other lack of priorities. It could be things like hobbies and sports. It's just so many things. Listen, and I know some people probably can handle sports and be faithful to church well. People do, but many don't. And I have nobody specifically in mind, but a lot of families in the culture have elevated their child's sports to where they can't be faithful in a church. They can't serve in a church because they just got to be gone for their child's sports. Travel sports, a real danger to families. It takes so much of their time. It takes them out of any way of serving together. By the way, it's very expensive. I was reading this week that the average family involved in travel sports, it costs just for one kid $10,000 a year average. That's for the food while you're away, the room and board while you're away, and it's pulling you away from serving the Lord. Listen, and I'm choosing these words intentionally, it can be a tragedy of eternal proportions if you teach your child that their activity is more important than God Himself, that they and their interests put God on the back burner. That could pay off in negative eternal consequences because your child is learning the exact opposite. Life should revolve around the Lord. We should know Jesus. We should want to serve Jesus. Again, some people can handle these things, but be very careful how you elevate your children's activities above worship. Listen, we could go quickly to some others. Fear could cause people not to come. COVID got us scared of germs. We were all very careful during that season, but you might have a carryover from that. I'm scared I'm going to get sick. And listen, Purell right there. I wash my hands a lot on Sunday mornings so that we don't get sick. But don't let that keep you from worshiping if you're able to be here. And then there are those classic hypocrites. And we've all heard this one. I would go to church except for those hypocrites. But isn't that strange? Because other people don't follow Jesus biblically. I'm not going to follow Jesus biblically. I'm going to let the hypocrites have it. Listen, our job is to make the hypocrites uncomfortable. I don't know who they are. If I did, I'd have conversations with the hypocrites. But they fake really well. Listen, don't let them keep you from being obedient. By the way, let me remind you, we don't have an inactive member status here. If a person stops attending for a year, and that's very gracious, by the way, but we want them. So we're going to try, when we notice they're not here, let's get them back. Hey, we want you here. You joined here some time ago. We want you here. But if a person says, no, I don't want to come, they're able-bodied and local, and I don't want to worship, then that's not church membership. And so with a lot of grace, but we remove them from membership. So it's more than just coming, though. Yes, we are to show up. Real quickly, we are to stir up. Let us consider how to stir up one another with love to love and good deeds. So coming to church is not a spectator sport. All of us come actively. Did you notice? My job is to help stir us up from the Word, but you have the same job. We do this with one another. This is another one of those great one another passages. You are to come and stir up each other. So your heart should be the same as my heart. When I'm driving in, Lord, use me today for your glory. I can't do this. You can do this through me. So I just want to be useful to you. You should have the same conversation with God as you come in. I'm not here just to sit and watch. I am to stir up other people. So let me ask you, is your life stirring up other people to love more? Is your influence here to cause people to love Jesus more? To love others more, to want to serve Jesus more. We're to show up, we're to stir up, we're also to build up. We're to build up. And let us consider how to stir up one another to love and good works, not neglecting to meet together as is the habit of some, but encouraging one another. The same exhortation we saw in Hebrews 3:12. Take care, brothers, lest there be in any of you an evil, unbelieving heart leading you to fall away from the living God, but exhort one another every day, as long as it's called today, that none of you may be hardened by the deceitfulness of sin. Always my aim to encourage you. You come with the same aim. I want to encourage my brothers and sisters. And so never think to yourself, I just come for God. That's a good reason to come. But you're also coming for the people, to stir them up, to encourage them. By the way, your presence encourages other people just by your coming. Imagine now this 11 o'clock service, if it were just me and three of you. Would you be encouraged? Sort of. But you'd be looking at all these empty seats thinking, I'm kind of discouraged. because nobody else came. Just your presence on those days when you don't feel like it. And we all have days like we don't feel like it. Like, I'm going to come because God is worthy of my worship. But these people, I want to be a part of encouraging them. And then when you get here, your words have the power to encourage each other or discourage. And your service in the body of Christ, it's a great encouragement to the people in the church. Your lack of service could be a discouragement. Show up, stir up, build up. Can I add one more? Wake up. Wake up. Because notice what he says, all the more as you see the day drawing near. Have you noticed how much the writer of Hebrews brings up the return of Jesus? We're not even looking for it in Hebrews. We're thinking Revelation for that. But he keeps bringing up the day. Standing before God, giving an account of ourselves. And here it is. He says, when you think about how you relate in faithfulness to Christ and in the body of Christ, you should be faithful all the more as you consider that Jesus is coming. His coming is nearer than it was yesterday. All through Hebrews, we've been thinking about this judgment, that even as believers, we're going to be at the judgment seat of Christ. We've seen the cross references in 2 Corinthians 5 and 1 Corinthians 3. So think about it. At the end of your life, you're going to stand before Jesus, yes, saved by grace through faith, but you're going to give an account for your faithfulness or lack thereof to the Savior. And how embarrassing at your evaluation if you had to say there, you know, I know there were 52 Sundays a year, but I just could not make that a priority to get together with God's people and serve in the body of Christ and launch missionaries with these people. I just couldn't do it, so I came like 4 times a year. Or I came about half the year, but I couldn't do it. How embarrassing, because listen, you can imagine at that judgment as we're given an account, saved by grace through faith, but given an account, there could be Chinese brothers and sisters there who risked imprisonment to gather to do just what we're doing. In fact, I read just in the last couple weeks, some Chinese pastors, another wave of Chinese pastors arrested for doing this, preaching the word, gathering like this, arrested. And I think, if I remember right, the sentences they're facing, like 7 years in prison for doing this. So imagine a North American Christian saying, sometimes the weather was so good, I had to go out and play. Sometimes it rained, and I couldn't make it. And these brothers and sisters are risking imprisonment. Listen, imagine if you were a North Korean Christian. You're risking death to do what we're doing right now. And what a shame to us, we say, who can get together to come to church? Listen, if we're physically able, listen, we have a lot of people not physically able. And right now, I can speak to the live stream folks. I'm so glad you're watching the live stream. This is for you. If you're not able to come, you've got health issues, you can't. Of course, I know sometimes we have people traveling. What a wonderful thing. We can, when we're away, we can tune into the live stream or watch it delayed. So wonderful. So this is not any guilt for those who are physically unable to do this. But if you're watching the live stream and you're physically able and you just have found it convenient to worship in pajamas, that would be convenient, but it's not the same as this. And so make your plan, no condemnation, but make your plan. Next Sunday, I'm going to get up, I'm going to get dressed, I'm not going to forsake the meeting together with people so that in this place you can encourage and you can stir up other people here. Listen, all the more as the day is drawing near. So what's the trend in your life? I hope nobody's looking back thinking, I used to be more faithful. I used to love more. I used to serve more. I used to be involved in stirring up others, but my trend is the opposite direction. Listen, all the more faithful to Jesus, to his family, serving together here till he comes. And I want to end with one final illustration, and it's a name. It's the name of Shirley Morrow. I did not ask her permission ahead of time, but I've talked to her since I started using her name today, and she's all right with it. In fact, she's sitting right there, Shirley Morrow. And Shirley wouldn't mind me telling you, she's 101.7 years old. I know that because I think it was last Sunday or the Sunday before, she told me in person here. Now listen, I don't know what it feels like to be 101. Shirley can tell us. It's hard work. Yeah, it's hard work, she says. And she can't always be here. So there's no condemnation when she can't. And not everybody at this age can come, right? Their health, there are lots of reasons why a person doesn't make it to 101. You can be in poor health at any age. And this is no condemnation of others. But I'm just saying, God has blessed Shirley with health to be here a lot of the time. And she's using that health to come to worship. And a great example for us to see that when we see her walk in. So here's what I'm putting before us. if God lets you live to 101.7, let's go ahead and make it, and he gives you good health, and he gives you health to do it, then let's make it the plan, all right, I'm going to be in church when I'm 101.7 if God gives me the health to do so. And so I'm making that pledge right now. If the Lord lets me live to 101.7 with good health, I'm going to come. So some of you are going to have to hold me accountable. Because if I've got good health at that age and I'm not coming, you're going to say, Jim, in 2025, you said you'd be here. You have no good reason. But let's be faithful until Jesus comes. Let's pray together. Lord, we want to thank you for your word, how we're inspired by it, how we need it. Lord, we know these things, but we do. We fight our own flesh. We fight laziness. We fight distraction. And Lord, thank you for this reminder that there's no treasure like you. There's nothing like this access you have given into your presence. Thank you for this reminder. Lord, help us now to take full advantage, drawing near, holding fast, all that. And then even in this church, Lord, help us to love better, serve better, all for your glory. Again, not out of rule-keeping, not out of legalism, but out of delight in you and what you've called us to do. I pray in the name of Jesus. Amen.